And so it is fifth Sunday, which means it is Family Sunday, and that's why you see the little ones in here with us. And so I'm excited because we're going to do something a little bit different, a little bit interactive to where I can get some folks involved. And we are going to preach out of Matthew chapter 6, and it is a question of priorities. That is the sermon topic for today, a question of priorities. We've been in the book of Joshua going through the series, and it's been a while since we've been back in it, right? Some of y'all are probably thinking, are we ever going back to Joshua? Yes, we are, because we are here every Sunday. We're not going anywhere, right? So, yeah, we got time is what I'm saying, okay? So we're going to get back into Joshua next week, Joshua chapter 7. And I would encourage you to read ahead. And if you do read ahead in Joshua chapter 7, you will see why I didn't preach it today with certain ears that are in the room. So let that appease you. Go look at chapter 7 because it's going to be good next week. But it's great stuff. So I'm thankful for God's word. So Matthew chapter 6, if you find your place there, your Bible, your phone, your tablet, whatever you got, we're going to be parking there. So let me give you a little bit of context here. In Matthew, this is considered the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus, he is preaching on several different topics, several different things that people have questions about, that they have been concerned about, stuff that the law addresses, that Jesus now comes on the scene, and he is saying, okay, so that is the law, but there is a heart issue that is behind it. So now it's not if you kill someone that's murder, but you can also murder someone by thinking hatred towards them. So Jesus puts it on the heart level, and he does this in the Sermon on the Mount series of things. I mean, you can just look in chapter 5, talking about anger, talking about lust, divorce, oaths, retaliation. What does that mean? Loving your enemies. And so Jesus is talking about these things, and then we get to chapter 6, and we'll pick up here in verse 25 of chapter 6. The topic here is, do not be anxious. All right? So verse 25 says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They will neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, of being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Let's read this together. Verse 33, ready? Read. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right. So Jesus, he's addressing things that we think about, that we talk about, right? Food is important. Clothes are important. And Jesus is saying, listen, the things that you have need of, you don't need to worry and think that the worry is how you're going to get it. So worrying is of no avail. There's no point to worry. And Jesus says that. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So talking about priorities, like as a kid, most of us were taught about priorities, right? We were taught what you need to have first, what you need to have second, third, and a lot of you kids that are in here, probably your parents have taught you about priorities, what you need to put first in your life, second in your life. So y'all tell me what is the number one priority that most of us learn growing up? What should be number one? Okay, God. So is that on my list? Boom, you got it. You get a prize. All right. What's the second thing that is on the priority list? Is that up there? Boom. Good job. Way to go. All right. So what is normally the third thing? Okay. Okay. Work for adults and is that right? Boom. There we go. Okay. Batting 100 so far. All right. What's the fourth thing that typically is on the list? What do y'all think? Somebody tell me. Okay, friends. So for adults, that would kind of be like relationships, right? There we go. All right. So number five, and don't put this one up yet. What do you think the fifth one should be? All right. She said homework. I think she said homework. So normally that's like leisure, right? Like sports, fun. That's supposed to be like at the bottom of the list. But typically that's how we have it listed, but that's not how it is, right? Yeah. That's kind of on up there. If not number one oftentimes. And so this is kind of the priority list that I learned, that my sisters kind of learned growing up. And it's just typically what you're taught. You need to have God first. You need to have family second. And then from there, you need to have your school and your work relations, and then your friends, and then sports and leisure and fun and so on and so forth. So that's the priority list that we're often taught. But the text says this in verse 33. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So the thing you need to understand is that the word first is not a reference to time, but to quality. It's not a reference to time, but to quality. Jesus is not teaching that we should seek the kingdom first, and then we can do everything else, okay? But that there should be an exclusive orientation, an exclusive focus to the divine kingdom and his righteousness. So all of these things that are listed, go back to my list, one slide back. So all of these things are good things. So they're listed there, the priorities. Kids, you've been taught this. Adults, we know this. But the problem that we have is this thing called compartmentalization, right? We compartmentalize. We put God over here and say, okay, this is my God time. This is my church time. And then we go, okay, well, this is my time, right? So my friends is separate from God. My school and my work relationship is separate from God. The friends, that the folks that I hang out with, like I do the God time over here, but the rest is really me, and it's sectioned out. And if we can be honest, our life tends to be sectioned out depending on where we are and who we're with and what we're doing on this list. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if that's the case, if it's not in relation to necessarily a place, but it's infused in everything. So when I get to God, I seek him. When I get to family, I seek God. When I get to school, to work, I'm seeking God. When I get to friends and relationships, I'm seeking the Lord. Even with what you do for fun and leisure, certain things you won't go do or go watch, because if you're seeking God in that moment, there's certain things that don't really line up with what he would have you to do in that moment. And so the idea here, what Christ is saying is, to seek first the kingdom of God is not just a one-time thing. It's every second of every day. Because that is how you are empowered to live the Christian life. You have to seek God's kingdom in everything that you do. Now, 1 Corinthians says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." Colossians 3:23, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." Now, when he says work at it, I think that means what you would obviously perceive in the scripture. That means to do it, right? To do it with all your heart. But I think when he says work at it, I think it means you got to work at it. Like, it's a process. It's not always easy to do everything you do to the glory of God. Because life is hard. Stuff comes your way that you don't enjoy or like, and it's easy to fall into the flesh. It's easy to do what you want to do. So you got to work at it. But we're commanded that everything we do is supposed to be unto the Lord. Now, looking at the priorities again and looking at the things that we do first, God, school, family, all that stuff. So how does Jesus address this? How can he help us advance in this area? How can he help us make him central? Well, let's see what he says about himself first. In Revelation 22, verse 13, he said this, He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So Jesus never said, I'm just Alpha, right? He never said, I'm just the first thing on your list and then the rest is you. Because he said, I'm not only the beginning, but I'm also the end. I'm Alpha and Omega. So if I'm the beginning and the end, I must be everything in between as well. So this is how we can prioritize God in everything we do, because he's not just asking to be number one on your list somewhere. He's not just asking for you to pray for his good graces before you go and tackle something that's difficult. Like he said, I'm infused in everything, and I want to be in everything. I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the beginning, and I am the end. I'm everything in between. What else does he say about himself? In Isaiah 41, verse 4, he says, who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, I am the first and with the last. I am he. What else does he say? Isaiah 44, 6. He's, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. He said, I am the first and the last, and there is no God beside me. Isaiah 48, 12. He said, listen to me, O Jacob, even Israel, whom I call. He said, you're going to find out who I am. He said, I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Revelation 1, 8. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 2, 8, the angel of the church, Smyrna, write, these are the words of the first and the last who died and returned to life. Revelation 3, 14, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the originator of God's creation. Revelation 21, 6, he said, and he told me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give freely from the spring of the water of life. And finally, in Revelation 1, 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, but he placed his right hand on me. So do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Don't get it twisted who Jesus says he is. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and everything in between. So Jesus never says you just get a time that you can just section out your Jesus time and then the rest is you. He says, no, I don't own a piece of the pie. I own the whole thing. I don't own a section of your clock. I own the entire thing. This is what Jesus is calling of us. And you wonder why you get frustrated with things and why stuff happens. Maybe we need to check and see, have we left God out? Have we left him behind in certain things? So back to Matthew 6, 25. And I'm going to read through this and just explain a few things. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. So because he is Alpha and Omega, because he is the beginning and the end, because he's everything, therefore, do not be afraid about your life. That's what the therefore is there for. Because he is who he is, you don't have to be afraid for your life. It said, you ain't got to worry about a thing because of who I am. Therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. I said, don't worry about your food, what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your clothes. Everybody in here look like y'all been eating good. Right? Did nobody show up here naked, right? Y'all got clothes on. The only time you're naked is if you want to be. But that's on you, all right? Nobody's struggling in those two areas of food and clothes. So he says, don't worry about it. Verse 26, he said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. When's the last time you've seen an anorexic bird? Anybody? Anybody have a bird show up on your stoop coughing, can you spare me some worms? You've never seen that, have you? A bird doesn't worry about that. Somehow he's provided for. God takes care of him. Are you not more valuable than they? That's what Jesus says. Are you not more valuable than the bird that you see flying? Verse 27, and which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. They're not out there working. They just grow. They're alive today, and tomorrow they're thrown into the furnace, to the oven. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. So what he's saying here is, if you're going after things, trying to figure out how you're going to make it, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? How are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to get over this thing? What are we going to do about this? He said, you're acting like the Gentiles. In essence, he's saying, you're acting like somebody that don't even know God. He said, you're acting like a person that does not know me. And even further than that, some Gentiles would see God and reject him. He says, when you worry, you are looking at me and saying, no, thank you. You are rejecting God when you choose to worry. Because he said, I got you covered. Don't worry about those things. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Everything that you are concerned about, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, even kids, testing, whatever you're going through, God knows what you need. God knew what you needed before you knew you needed it. Matthew 6, 8, it says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. But, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So you can't be concerned with those things. You can't worry about those things, but you got to seek God. So to further push this point home, I'm going to need some help here. Bowen, would you help me out, brother? I need some help from you. Sister, would you mind coming help me as well? Just come on up here. Yep, let me. I need you, and I need you, Lucy. Come on up here. So these are my helpers for today. Let's give them a hand as they come on up here. Awesome. Good job. All right. Okay, so I'm trying to help everyone in here better understand how we can do what God's calling us to do, okay? Y'all nervous? You should be. I'm kidding. All right, so I need each one of you to hold a corner of this blanket, and we're just going to stretch it out as tight as it will go, okay? So two on this corner. There you go. There you go. And then two on the opposite corner, and just hold it tight. Stretch it tight. Tight, tight, tight. There you go. All right. So this blanket here represents all of life, okay? This represents everything that would entail a human being. Anything that you do, anything that you value, life itself is represented by this blanket, okay? So what are some of the things that we do and we value? Well, I got a few things in here. Let's see. I'll go with the obvious. One of my obvious is sports, athletics, okay? Soccer, basketball, whatever you do, whatever you watch, some of us, we long from playing, okay? That was way back in the day. So sports value, we look at it, we watch it, we play it, all these things. So we're going to put this on the continuum of life. Stretch it tight, okay? There you go. All right, so we're going to throw that on there. All right, let's see what else we got. Let's see. I got a book here. So this represents education, right? Going to school, kids, y'all are in school, just got done with testing. Adults, college, graduate school, studies for preparations for work, all that stuff. This book represents education. So we're going to put that on the spectrum of life. Hold it tight. All right. Let's see. What else we got in here? Okay, let's go. Our material thing. So I got some automobiles here. All right. Got some cars. We work hard, right? We spend money. We buy vehicles. You like riding a nice whip. Y'all don't know what whip is. Come talk to me after church. I'll tell you. It represents a car, okay? So let's put our material things, our vehicles on life. Now, this is what we put our effort and energy into, right? These are things that we do prioritize, things that we value. So I'm going to put that on there. Let's see. What else we got? Accolades, right? Trophies. Winning, all right? On your job, being successful, getting good numbers, good results. Kids getting good grades. All this sports, it represents winning. Does our culture not value winning a lot? A whole lot, right? If you're not winning, then you're out the door, especially in coaching. So this represents that. So we're going to put that on the continuum of life. We spend a lot of time with that, a lot of effort and energy in that. Let's see what else we got. Let's go with the bling bling. Let's go with that. All right. Spending money on more material things, your jewelry, your clothing, all that stuff. Okay, so this is so far is a good bit of stuff that we're valuing, and it's starting to carry some weight. So I wonder which is at the center at this point. Which one of these things might carry the most weight so far? It could be different for all of us. One of these things that I put in here so far might be heavier than the other in your life. It might bear more weight. It might be the thing you center around more. I don't know what it is. So let's see, what else? Let's say this represents image, okay? Now, we promote diversity in my home, so that's why you got black and white. This represents image, right? These dolls are made to look perfect, are they not? The money you put into to looking good, the what the world says you need to do, how you need to present yourself. Parents, the image that you need to present of your family. Raising your kids like everybody's perfect, right? Let's throw that on there, the time and effort and energy you put into that. Let's see. Here we go. So keys. Anything in your life that needs one of these means you value it. Because if you didn't have these, it would be wide open and anybody could get in it, right? House, cars, all kind of things. Keys. Throw that in there. Wonder which one's carrying the most weight so far. Arms getting tired, getting heavy. So let's see. I think I got one more thing. Oh, about to make it rain. Money, right? Do we not work and spend our time trying to make this? I mean, you're working to make it, then you got to spend it, then you got to go make it, then daddy's got to spend it and spend it and spend it. Right? So all of these things are things that are in your life that we value, that are on the continuum of life, and they carry weight. And my question is, which one of these has the most priority in your life? Kids, adults? Which one is the thing that is centering your life so far? Which one do you put your most effort and energy in? But see, when I read the text, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So really, this should be the most weighty thing, right? So notice, when Christ is in there, he's central. And what happens to everything else that is around it? Boom. It gravitates towards it. It centers on it. Thanks, kids. You can just sit it down right there. Thank you. Appreciate it. So everything within this continuum of life, when Christ entered the picture, everything around it centered on Christ. It gravitated towards Christ. And this is the picture and image I want us to get when we look at this text and we look at this verse. When you seek the kingdom of God, all the other things, they'll be added, but you're not seeking Christ to get the things. You're not seeking Christ so he can be your Santa Claus. But we're seeking Christ because we love him. And I want my finances to be centered around Christ. Like I want my job and my time and my family and the things that I own, the things that I have. I want that stuff to be centered around Jesus because he knows what they were created for. He knows how they are to be used and to be glorified for his name. So when Christ comes, he is meant to be central, the center. And Jesus being who he is, it's not a question of if Jesus is involved. It's a matter of, will you involve him? Will you involve Christ in every area of your life? Will you involve Jesus in the things that you might even think are insignificant, that Jesus doesn't care about? Let him get in that thing. Now, the last thing we see here, it is in verse 34. We didn't read that verse in this on purpose, because Jesus does something here. Okay, in verse 34, he says, therefore, Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, it's interesting with our priorities, with the things that we do, we tend to coat them in anxiety. We tend to wrap them up in worry and in fear. Listen, it is the natural way of man. It is the natural way of your flesh to naturally worry about the things that are on our list. They're great things, they're the family, but we can be anxious about that. We can be fearful about that. We can worry about that with relationships, with friends, with your job. With all those things, it's so easy to coat it in anxiety, which is why Jesus says this. And he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Now, why does Jesus reference tomorrow? We're talking about today. We're talking about Jesus saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. I mean, all those things pertain to today. And he gives a huge list of things even before that. And he's talking about today. But then at the end of verse 34, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Why does he say that? Because Jesus knows. After reading this text, and as good as this message is, and as many times as we hear Jesus say it, he knows that as soon as we walk out that door, we're going to have the temptation to jump back in anxiety and fear. That's why he says, tomorrow, remember what I said. Don't worry about tomorrow, because you're going to get in tomorrow, and you're going to have the temptation to start worrying again. As soon as you leave here today, you might get some news, and it might put you right back in the mode of being fearful and being anxious about something tomorrow. But he says, listen, tomorrow is coming if I choose for it to come. You're going to have an opportunity to worry, to be anxious, but don't. Because I am who I said I am. I'm the beginning and the end. I want to be central in your life. So don't worry. Don't be anxious. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He says you're going to get peace that surpasses understanding, because peace is not normal. It's not. There's not much peace in the world. That's why he says when you get it and you get it from me, it's going to surpass even your own understanding. And other folks are going to look at you and go, why in the world do you have peace in what you're dealing with? How in the world are you able to do that? It is a gift from God to have peace in the midst of the storm. Heather, you guys can come back. Now understand this. God tells us to seek him. Jesus says you got to seek the kingdom first and all these things will be added. And that sounds great and incredible to do so and continue to do that. But listen, just because you seek him doesn't mean that your situation will change. Matter of fact, it could get worse. Just because you seek him doesn't mean that that situation is going to change. But listen, when you seek him, he might not change the situation, but he always changes you. He always changes me. And that's where the change needs to take place. It's in my own heart with how I look at that situation. Who am I worshiping in that moment? Am I turning to my fear and my anxiety to get me over this thing, or am I truly trusting Christ? He might not change the situation. It didn't change you. I mean, Juwan, you know about that. Going through surgery, injury. God didn't take it away, but I guarantee you God's doing the work in his life, in his perspective, and God can do that in all of us. That's what he wants to do. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, it says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God gives us a new heart, new passion, new desire when we can trust him, when we can believe in him. You don't get caught up on that wall. Don't let your perspective be stuck with just what you can see. You trust God. He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new perspective on that thing that you are dealing with. I'm going to give you a whole new heart. And that's what we need. And that's what Jesus supplies for us. So in looking at our priorities and looking at what we value, what we put our time into, where's Jesus at in that equation? You got to be honest. I got to be honest. I haven't said, Lord, you are center of everything in my life. Now, there's certain areas that I want to hold on to that I think I'm good at that, Lord. I can handle that. You don't have to worry about that situation. I'm good at that. So that's arrogant. That's prideful. It's easy to fall into the trap. I need Jesus in every area of my life. And so what are the areas in our lives that we have said, yeah, not this one, Jesus. Instead, I'm just going to worry about it because that makes me feel like I'm actually doing something and something's getting done. And Jesus is like, it ain't getting done. You are spinning your wheels worrying about it. Relationships that have been broken, things that have happened to you, things that you have done in relationships, and you're worried about it, you're anxious about it, you're fearful about it. Trust God with that relationship. Trust God in that whole process that he's refining you and he's wanting to change your heart. He's wanting to get something in you and through you. Let God do the work. Let God do what only he can do. Don't circumvent the process because it is a process. It's called the process of sanctification. God is making and molding us to be more like him every single day. Submit to the process of looking more like Jesus. Yeah, it's painful. It can be difficult, but just surrender to it. Say, Jesus, have your way in every single area of my life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in everything. And you really won't be concerned about the stuff. Yeah, you'll have what you need, but my priority in life is to honor God, to glorify God in everything that I do, wherever I am. Man, may that be our heart's cry today. With every head bowed and eye closed, again, I don't know where you are right now, but this is a great opportunity. This is a great atmosphere to surrender to the Lord, to be honest with yourself and say, God, I want you at the center of my life. If you're at a place today where you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you're a believer, but you've just struggled with some things that you tried to hold on to, you've been worrying over some things, and you just want to say, God, I'm just releasing that to you today. I'm getting that off my chest. I'm placing it in your hands. I'm just going to submit to you. If that is you today, just raise your hand as a sign that you're going to surrender that to him today. That's all I want you to do is just raise your hand that you're going to submit to him today. Do that now. Amen. And if you're in here today and you have not trusted Christ, I mean, all the priorities on your list have been about you. Man, what a great day to submit to Christ, to say, Lord, just take over the whole thing. God, arrange this thing how you want because you're central in everything. God, I want you to be central in everything. If that's you in here today, you want to submit to Christ for the very first time, raise your hand as well. Father, you saw the hands of your people, God, and I just pray, Lord, that those that raise their hands for both categories, God, that you'd come in and that you would touch, Father, that you would do the work, God, that you would help us to trust you, God. Help us in our faith to grow, God, in our grace to acknowledge who you are and just submit those things to you, God. To say we cannot control them. We cannot add a single day to our life, not an inch to our height. None of that by worrying, God. So I pray that the people who raise their hands would truly release that to you because you want to take that thing right now and take control of it. God, we love you for today. God, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.